Now, knowing that if we don't get on with four, we might get drunk over it, why would we still tend to procrastinate and not want to do step four? I think there's two or three reasons behind it. Some of the older members tend to play king off the mountain with step four. And they tell the newcomer, by God, you just wait till you get to step four. Blah, 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 blah. Just literally scare them to death. Let us be the first to say today, if we do step four the way the big book says to do it, there's nothing to be afraid of, period. It's not going to be a list of dirty, filthy, nasty items. And there's nothing to fear in step four. Knowing that, why would we still tend to procrastinate? Well, I think one of the main reasons is the instructions on how to do it are on page 64. But not understanding how Bill wrote, for years we didn't understand how to do step four according to the big book. So in our confusion, we got over into step five and we read something about sharing all your life story. And we said, oh, that's what they wanted us to do, that in four, is write our life story. And that's what I did at the beginning. Probably wasn't very important to other people, must have been to me, because there was 92 pages in it when I got on. I took it to another poor, suffering alcoholic and asked him to read it. And he read it and said, not very pretty, is it? And I said, no. He threw it in a waste paper basket. He said, you'll never have to be that way again. I learned nothing to contribute to my alcoholism by writing my life story. And as I look back now, I realize 95% of my life story doesn't have anything to do with my alcoholism. The fact that I was born in 1929, I don't think it's got anything to do with my alcoholism. May have had something to do with somebody else's, but not mine. The fact that I went into service immediately after high school, served a hitch in the Army, I don't think it's got anything to do with my alcoholism. The fact that I was married at age 21, I don't think it's got a thing to do with it. But I tell you what it did do. The 95% that had nothing to do with it very effectively covered up the 5% that did, and I learned nothing to contribute to my alcoholism from my life story. So in our confusion, somebody in Minneapolis, Minnesota wrote a four-step inventory guide. We got the Minneapolis guide, we combined it with a big book, and we got more confused yet. Somebody in Dallas, Texas wrote one. We took the Dallas guide, combined it with a Minneapolis guide, combined it with a big book, and got more confused yet. We saw one time coming out of Canada. Nothing wrong with Canada, but that's where it came from. Had 20 pages in it. And if you wasn't crazy as hell before you took it, you sure as hell would be when you were through with it. It was one of those. All the time, the instructions have been right here in the book. And we just couldn't see them because we didn't understand how Bill writes. Now, there's two things that you've got to understand about this if you're going to do it the way the book says. Number one, we've got to remember that Bill loves to talk about something we already know about and then use that to teach us something new. We saw him do it with a great ocean liner the moment after rescue from shipwreck. Here he does it by talking about a business inventory, assuming that you and I know something about a business inventory. And he's going to use that example then to tell us how to do our own personal inventory. The other thing we've got to always remember about him, he repeats himself quite often, but he finds a different word which means the same thing. And seeing that, I think it's going to be amazing how simple this step four really is if we do it the way the big book says to do it. So let's just kind of relax. Let's just kind of sit back and see if we can't see how simple this thing is. And if we can't see where there's nothing to be afraid of in this thing at all. He starts out first by making a comparison, which he loves to do. He said, therefore, we started upon a personal inventory. This was step four. And immediately he goes to business. He says, a business which takes no regular inventory usually goes broke. Now, I think you and I could probably recognize the fact if we had a business selling ladies' purses, men's watches, bicycles, whatever, it doesn't make any difference. If we didn't go in there and inventory once in a while, and by the way, inventory is defined as a written list of items. If we didn't go in there and inventory in our business, we wouldn't know what's been stolen out of the store we didn't get paid for. We wouldn't know what's been sold and we need to reorder new stock to replace it. We wouldn't know what's become damaged and unsaleable and nobody wants to buy it. It's sitting there taking up valuable floor space, valuable cabinet space, display case. We're probably paying interest on borrowed money on it. It sits there day after day after day after day and nobody wants to buy it. We wouldn't know what's become out of style, and people aren't interested in buying those kind of items. And if we didn't inventory in the business, we probably eventually would end up going broke. I think everybody could see that. Okay, in our personal lives, we have a business too. And our business is the most important business in the world to us. It's a business of finding a way to live, where not only can we be sober, but we can have a little peace of mind, serenity, and happiness. And if we don't inventory in our personal business of staying sober, then we're probably going to go broke too. And going broke for us is simply going back to drinking. So whether we deal with a business inventory or a personal inventory, if we don't do it, we're probably going to go broke. Now then, he says, and we're going to put a little picture up here on the screen again, and you got one that'll match it. And we're going to take a few key words out of the big book, and we're going to put them up here on this screen as we look at them. He says, a business which takes no regular inventory usually goes broke. And then he says, taking a commercial inventory. Now, that burned him. He could have said business again, but he don't like to repeat himself twice. Have you guys got that sheet in your thing?
Yes.
I don't see it in this one I've got up here. Where is it? Yeah, there it is. We call it inventory comparison. Okay, we're going to take a few key words now from this business inventory and list them up here on the board. Taking a commercial inventory is a fact-finding. We're putting fact-finding on the board. And a fact-facing process, and we're putting fact-facing on the board. It is an effort to discover the truth, and we're putting truth on the board, about the stock in trade. And we're putting stock in trade on the board. Now, the stock in trade is what's in there for sale. The ladies' purses, the men's watches, the bicycles, or whatever. One object is to disclose damaged or unsaleable goods. And we're putting damaged or unsaleable goods on the board, to get rid of them promptly and without regret. And we're putting get rid of them promptly and without regret on the board. In other words, in the business inventory, we're going to try to find the facts. When we find them, we're going to try to face the facts. We're trying to discover the truth about the stock in trade. We're trying to disclose the damaged and unsaleable goods. Now, the good items don't cause us to go broke. The damaged and unsaleable items cause us to go broke. When we find them, we're going to try to get rid of them promptly and without regret. And he said, if the owner of the business is to be successful, he cannot fool himself about values. In other words, he's going to have to be just as honest as he possibly can. And once in a while, he'll try to fool himself. He or she, whichever the case might be. I might say, well, the reason these ladies don't want to buy these purses is they just don't understand what they really need. They made a decision to buy them. They hate to admit they're wrong, and it may keep them in there much longer than they should. And if they do, it's going to cost them money day after day after day. So they got to be truthful with this inventory. Now, is there anybody in here that would have any problem with that statement he's just made about a business inventory? We're going to try to find the facts. When we find them, we're going to face them. We're trying to discover the truth about the stock in trade. We're looking for damaged and unsaleable goods. When we get rid of them, when we find them, we're going to get rid of them promptly and without regret. You can't put new items in there until the old items are gone. So when we find them, we got to get them out of there so we can put new stuff back in there. Anybody got any problem with that?